When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Hello, and welcome to this new show called Ayurveda, The Science of Life on UK Health Radio. My name is Dr. Oscar Adukon. I'm working as an Ayurvedic practitioner in Belfast, Northern Ireland, following a career working as a GP, family doctor in the throughout the UK and Ireland. In this show, I will introduce the listener to the ancient system of medicine known as Ayurveda, which is still in use today and growing in popularity worldwide. I will explain the origins and principles of Ayurveda and give clear, simple, understandable explanations for how it can work in our modern lives. I will discuss how Ayurveda can connect us to our own nature, as well as the wider world of nature around us. We are all part of nature and need to restore these connections in our daily lives. I will interview like-minded therapists and health experts to discuss their approach to health and wellness and how it connects with Ayurveda. This show aims to reflect the growing move away from the narrow confines of conventional medicine to a deeper, more holistic and personalized view of health and wellness. Ayurveda is a nature-based system which uses food, simple herbal remedies, daily practices, and herbal-based medications to achieve balance of body and mind. So much of the root cause of illness today are caused by our digestion and lifestyle. Ayurveda teaches us that everything we do in our lives has an effect upon our well-being and health. On this show, I hope to teach you and show you how learning about Ayurveda will benefit you and your health now and into the future. So welcome to the show today, Ayurveda, the Science of Life. This is my 50th show today. It's amazing how the time passes. And on today's show, I would like to discuss a topic that has been something I've thought about for many years while I was working as a doctor and lately while I've been practicing in Ayurveda. And that is the role of suffering as a means or a way to healing or self-healing. Now, this is quite a profound topic, and it may be something that you have thought about before or not thought about before, overlooked it. When you think about the topic itself, suffering as a means or a way towards healing, it might sound paradoxical or not quite making sense, that suffering can be used as a means towards healing. And this is something Ayurveda has understood and explained and taught for thousands of years. We usually see suffering as something negative, something to avoid, something to suppress. However, in the Ayurvedic tradition, suffering is not merely an obstacle to progress or help. It's also a teacher or like a messenger
And sometimes even the suffering can be part of the medicine or treatment itself for a disorder or an illness. So on this show today, I'd like to explore how Ayurveda interprets suffering, not simply as a punishment or something that happened by accident or a random coincidence, but as a pathway towards your restoration of yourself, your developing self-awareness and back to wholeness or you know, optimal health and wellness. Now, during my career as a GP and also while working in hospitals, I often noted how a serious illness or a life event often caused or prompted a patient onto a different path and towards a healthier life or lifestyle. For instance, heart attack was a common life event that I noticed sent people in a different direction in their life. After a heart attack, they would stop the bad habits of smoking, overeating junk food and not exercising, and then take up exercise, become fitness enthusiasts, and start paying more attention to their diet, etc. I'm sure everybody has seen somebody with a similar experience, or maybe it's happened to you yourself. I often felt it was like a yellow card in football. It was like, you're in the last chance saloon, and you really now need to make a change in your life. And it just seemed to me that for patients needed something bad to happen in their life before they made any positive changes, almost like they had to hit rock bottom. And I often wondered about this because we all know what we are doing is wrong, but we still continue to do the same things until something happens. Now, I think Ayurveda can provide an explanation of why this happens and why it's such a common phenomenon. And once again, I will look back into the ancient texts and teachings of Ayurveda to explain some of the conundrums and issues we face today. And that's what I think is so lovely about Ayurveda. It gives us that opportunity to look at things again from a different point of view. And things, for me anyway, start to make a bit more sense. And so let me briefly run over some of the discussion points I'll cover today in this show. First of all, I'll talk about the Ayurvedic view of suffering in relation to the Vedic text or historical background that comprises the Ayurvedic teachings. I'll talk about the role of pain in our experience of suffering. I'll talk about how Ayurveda explains the experience of suffering at the different levels of our body, our mind, and even our spirit, our Atma. I'll also talk about how it teaches us to embrace this suffering to direct us on the path towards self-healing, so that we need to experience suffering in order to go on this path, specifically in relation to what's called panchakarma, which involves the cleansing, the detoxification processes that are used in Ayurveda for this precise purpose. And I will also talk about how our recognition and understanding of our suffering can lead us towards this path of self-healing. And finally, just a few simple tips and advice about how we can integrate some of this ancient wisdom into our daily lives. So first and foremost, let's discuss the Ayurvedic view of suffering. Now, Ayurveda is an ancient system of medicine that has its roots back in the Vedic sciences and philosophies, which date back thousands of years and originate from the Indian subcontinent. And these were basically a system of rules of living and observations that came out of the Hindu religious and cultural beliefs of the time, and they were written up in the Vedic text. They were influenced later by some Buddhist philosophies and teaching, and they were updated over time. Now, there are four, I'm, of course, summarizing this vast body of knowledge, but in my learning, there were four fundamental truths in the Vedic philosophies. And these are, number one, our goal in life is to reach a state of pure consciousness. So to transcend ourselves, in other words. Number two, this is the most important one, that our life is essentially a state of suffering which is caused by our ego. So essentially our life is suffering, which is quite, when I first read and heard about this, I thought it was quite stark. Number three, to eradicate this suffering, we must do two things. We must silence our mind and quiet or negate our ego, which is pushing all the time in our existence, in our lives. And number four, to do this and to achieve goal number three, we must practice truthfulness, humility, and nonviolence through the practices of yoga and meditation. So most importantly, in order to get on this path, we must balance our body via our doshas to allow the mind to pursue the goal of achieving pure consciousness. So we must be well in our physical selves in order to be able to pursue the goal in life of reaching the state of pure consciousness. So in Ayurveda, suffering, whether it's physical pain or emotional distress or any mental turbulence or trauma, this is understood as what's called dukkha, which literally means a bad space or a difficult experience. We often use that in our common language. You say, we are in a bad space and I need space. I want to be in a better space, on a better place. So this is what the suffering means. It means that at the top cat, it indicates that you are not in yourself, in the beliefs. And this arises from a cause of all our illness, which is called prajnaparada in Sanskrit, which essentially translates as a crime against your intellect or a crime against your better wisdom. And this refers back to what I spoke about at the start, that we know what is the bad things and bad habits, but we continue to do them. So in other words, when we live a life that's outside of the rhythms of nature, out of harmony with our diet, our behaviors, our relationships, our thoughts go against this law of balance, this law of to be following our better wisdom. For instance, if we eat spicy and fried foods excessively, this can aggravate our pitta dosha, the dosha that's responsible for fire and transformation in our body. And this can cause excess acid and inflammation and even anger and mental disturbance and agitation. We've all heard the phrase, blowing your top. If pitta is increasing in our bodies and cannot be regulated or managed, the only way for this excess pitta or fire and heat to escape is through our head. Or less often, also through our skin. Now, ignoring, in the case of the Vata dosha, if we ignore the need for rest and routine and regularity, this disturbs the Vata dosha. And this leads to the Vata dosha is responsible for movement in the body. It leads to anxiety, sleeplessness, insomnia, digestive disorders affecting the large bowel, particularly causing constipation, gas, dunning, bloating, and some pain. And if we overindulge in heavy or sweet foods and have habits that are sedentary, these can increase the kapha dosha, which results in lethargy, obesity, sluggishness, mindless eating, and depression associated with inertia. So suffering then is the body's way of alerting us. It's saying to us, you've moved away from your natural balance. Come back, come back. For example, there's a story that's recounted in Vichalaka Sanhita, which is one of the founding texts of Ayurveda. And it describes the story of a famous king who was constantly falling sick. He had wealth and power and he had access to the best doctors and physicians, but his illnesses and his symptoms continued to increase. And finally, he consulted a wise sage or a wise scholar who told him that his suffering is not a curse. It shows you, it allows you to see the imbalance of your lifestyle. Unless you change how you live, no medicine is going to help you ultimately. So the king listened, he adjusted his diet, he practiced moderation, he reflected and honored the rhythms of nature, his own nature as well, and his suffering reduced. Not because of the drugs that he was taking or the herbal medication, because he had embraced the lesson that he had to learn from his illness. I'll take a short break now and come back in the next part of the show and explain the importance of pain in our experience of suffering. See you in a few minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show today, Ayurveda, the Science of Life. On this show today, I'm talking about the importance of suffering as part of a way to start on the path towards self-healing, and that this concept has been explained and observed in Ayurveda for thousands of years. Now, what is the role of pain in our experience of suffering? Well, pain, it acts like a messenger. Messenger of bad tidings, we might think. But Ayurveda never sees pain as a random circumstance. Each pain or symptom we have is a signal. It's like a warning sign in some ways. A headache is not just a pain. It may be telling us that there's unresolved stress in our system, that we have suppressed anger brewing in us, or that we have an accumulation of toxins within our body tissues. Constipation is not merely an inconvenience or something that you can treat with a tablet, especially when it becomes recurrent or persistent or severe. It's the body telling us that our digestion, our assimilation of our nutrients and our elimination of our waste products, that there's problems within there somewhere that needs to be addressed. And even sadness or grief in the Ayurvedic teachings, this reflects a stagnation in the first tissue layer, or the rasa, or the plasma, which is the primary fluid that nourishes both our mind and our emotions. And instead of silencing these signals, as we tend to do, or ignoring them or silencing them by taking painkillers or for headaches or anti-inflammatories or antacids and digestion tablets for stomach problems and constipation, Ayurveda prompts us to pause and listen and try and understand. So just as fever can burn away toxins in our body, or say if we've got an infection, we develop the fever to fight the infection and the bacteria. So suffering in itself can ignite or reveal, can kind of unlock and this awareness that we need to have about what's going on in our bodies and the mind. So I think we're beginning to see a pattern in what I'm trying to discuss about the role of suffering and the importance of it, not to ignore it and to try and understand what's happening to give us an indication of what we can do to start on the path towards healing. Now, Ayurveda explains healing through three different layers, and this would be the body and the mind and the spirit. And these are all interconnected. Now, first, if we think about the body, if we have a physical suffering, this makes us aware of the limitations of what we can do, our body function. A backache can teach us not just about posture, to slow down, to respect the body's structure. In fact, and I can speak from experience, I've been crippled with a lower back problem this week because I did some foolish exercises at the weekend, thinking I was doing myself some good when I was doing myself harm. So the body speaks to us, and this experience of symptoms, our experience of symptoms is the way the body speaks to us. Now, in our mind, our mental suffering, which is commonly experienced as anxiety or depression, that often points to a disharmony and a disconnect in some way between our thoughts and our desires. So you could think of between our head and our heart. And in Ayurveda, we describe the three qualities of the mind that we work between all of the time. And these are sattva, which represents calm, peace of mind, rajas, which represents anger and agitation, and tejas, which represents inertia or dullness in our mind. So we fluctuate between these three states, or these three qualities, so to speak, more often in the second two of rajas and tejas, and less often in the sattva, calm, and peace of mind. And Ayurveda emphasizes or promotes trying to experience this quality of sattva, which is clarity and harmony of mind. And it does so by recommending practices such as yoga, meditation, and breath work, as well as diet and herbal remedies and herbal medication, and including quite often using supplements when needed. So suffering can motivate us. This kind of mental suffering can motivate us to adopt these practices of mindfulness, of meditation, or choosing, say, sattvic foods that will allow us to restore or regain this inner state of calm, peace of mind, or a sattvic state. And there are sattvic foods that will have this effect. And the more you learn about Ayurveda, the more you can understand how they can be used. Now, our Atma, or our spirit, this is a very similar Atma word to Anan in Irish, which is soul or spirit. And this is at our deepest level. This, what you call existential suffering, the suffering we can't put a finger on. This suffering, it really prompts us to reconnect with our essence of ourselves, our true self. So in Ayurveda, perfect health is called svastha. And that word in Sanskrit means to be established in that self, or in yourself, to be within your own natural self or constitution. And a common saying in Ayurveda in Sanskrit of the definition of good health is, quite simply, sama dosha, sama agni, sama dhatu. And that's balanced doshas, balanced digestive fire, balanced tissues. Mala kriya prasana apna indriya manaha swasta iti abhidhyate. Apologies for the terrible pronunciation, but this saying is from the Sushruta Sanhita, which is another famous body of Ayurvedic teachings and text, and it translates roughly as, one is in perfect health when the three doshas of vata, pitta, and kapha are balanced, when the digestive fire of our digestion, our assimilation and metabolism, and all the body tissues and components, that is the dhatus, are the entire body, and all the excretory or waste oceans of urination and defecation of going to the toilet, to pass urine and to pass stools, when all of these systems and parts of our body are in perfect order and we have a pleasant, contented mind, senses and spirit. So it's quite a wide-ranging definition of perfect health. And suffering, when we experience it, it becomes a catalyst or a prompt for us to experience a change or a spiritual awakening. And this is what's so important, that we mustn't ignore suffering or symptoms or signs our body might be telling us something's wrong, something's wrong. Stop, have a look, have a check. Try and develop the self-awareness. Try and develop this capacity to identify what's happening and take action against it. This is the commonly told story of a person who goes to the doctor with chronic joint pains or muscle pains, and they have many treatments or painkillers or physiotherapy, and nothing is working. So they're labeled with this psychosomatic type of label, which is a way of saying, cannot find anything wrong with you. Maybe it's in your mind. But as an Ayurveda, we say all illness is psychosomatic because all illness has a psychological component in it. And we're starting to understand that more and more. And an Ayurvedic practitioner would tell the patient that the pain is part of your path to wellness. It's asking you to change. So he would recommend changes in diet, changes in lifestyle, some herbal oils that could be massaged, and some herbal preparations to help with rebalancing. And once these medicines start to take effect, once these changes you make in your diet and your lifestyle start to take effect, you take lighter foods, maybe do some regular yoga, some stretching, a meditation practice, a breath work, and the herbal medications will help support you in this process, his pain will gradually reduce, start to feel better himself, start to feel more active, and then correspondingly start to improve over time. The pains in the joints might still be there from time to time, but at least the patient is in a better state to be able to manage them. So this is how Ayurveda would approach complicated and difficult to treat disorders such as fibromyalgia, chronic joint pains, arthritis, by adopting a holistic approach to the assessment of the patient and seeing every part of their life and lifestyle and diet that can be addressed in order to improve the situation. So I think now is a good time to take a short break, and I'll come back and speak a little bit more about what's called the alchemy of tapas, which is really about how our suffering, how adopting an approach which involves a little mild suffering or discomfort can help us start on the path towards healing. See you back in a few minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show, Ayurveda, the Science of Life. On today's episode, I'm discussing the Ayurvedic view of suffering as part of life and how it's so important to understand that suffering, how it is a message or a signal to us to take stock in order to start on the path towards self-healing. Now, how does Ayurveda teach us about suffering as a way towards self-healing? Well, suffering in Ayurveda is linked to a concept called tapas, which is explained as the fire within us and discipline of purification and transformation. It's like the heat that burns away impurities out of our body and mind. So it's like the fire that heals. So if we think of something like fasting, at the start of fasting, it brings us hunger pangs, dizziness and even irritability and discomfort. But as the body eliminates the toxins, it rekindles our digestive fire and restores clarity and lightness within us. If we think of meditation, when we start to do meditation, it can make us feel restless and even cause us some physical and later emotional pain. But if we stay with it, if we persist with it, it can give us some insight and give us some peace of mind. So suffering in Ayurveda, therefore, has a meaning. It is like a transformative fire if we approach it in a conscious, considered manner of understanding better. So then, how does it work in Ayurvedic practice? Or how does it help us? How do we reconcile the suffering as a way towards self-healing? Now, in the West, as I said before, we see suffering as a failure of treatment, or a person who's in poor health who is suffering. But it's not as simple as that. Often in Ayurveda, the remedies or the practices and embrace a little bit of mild suffering as part of healing. And this is most particularly true in the detoxification or cleansing process known as Panchakarma, which is translated as five actions. And those are the action of vamana, which is called therapeutic vomiting. This sounds very severe and it will induce discomfort, but it removes kapha-related toxins out of our system. If there's congestion in our lungs and we have repeated and chest infections, colds and asthma, the recommended treatment is a vamana or a therapeutic vomiting, which helps release or remove the excess mucus that is causing these symptoms. We know kapha resides in the chest, the kapha dosha, and often repressed emotions can be held in the chest if we think about how when we start to be upset, the first thing we do often is put our hand on our chest. And this is associated with excess kapha in our system. But when this mucus is released with this process of emesis or forced vomiting, allows the patient to become lighter and instantly relieved. The sinuses become clear, the breathing becomes easier. It can help with conditions such as diabetes, lymphatic congestion, where there's excess swelling in the body, particularly in the lower limbs. And it's afterwards, after this process, the patient will have to rest and fast, take some herbal supplements, and specifically not suppress any natural urges, such as wanting to go to the toilet, or wanting to sneeze, or a past wind, or cough, for instance. Now, I must stress, these processes are not recommended for doing at home. They're done in a clinic situation, or a retreat setting, or you're supervised by staff. But after this treatment, you'll be able to breathe freely, and you'll be able to think more clearly, and you'll have a better appetite, and a lot of these congestion symptoms will disappear. Another form of treatment is called purgation treatment. And this brings, it could make us weak initially because of the fact that it's forced, and it will cause diarrhea, naturally, if you're taking purgative or laxatives, to cause this purgation or this excess clearing or detoxification, cleansing of the bowel or the gut. But this is very helpful when there's excess pitta in the system. And pitta is associated with an increased bile, problems with the liver and the gallbladder and the small intestine, the upper part of it, the gut. And we associate pitta with inflammatory disorders like rashes, nausea, jaundice, skin problems, as well as problems affecting the joints with arthritis or arthritis with pain and heat. But purgatives can help release this excess bile in the system. And afterwards, if the patients put on a bland diet, so they're not taking any pitta foods, which would be sour, salty, and pungent tasting foods, so that they can build up their strength after this treatment of purgation, which removes the toxins from the body of everybody. And the last of the processes of Panchakarma that are affect the gut is called Basti, which is a form of, it's a therapeutic enema. We can see this as it happens in modern medicine, so to speak, the colonic irrigations that are so commonly used these days and are so popular. But this has been used in Ayurveda for thousands of years, using medicated oils in the enema to help release the toxins that are accumulating in the bowel, particularly that affect the Vata dosha. Now, we know Vata is the dosha that's responsible for movement in the body, particularly for this movement to do with excretion, urination, passing bowel movements, and even any other waste products, like, for instance, menstrual blood as well. So if there's any blocks in the Vata, it can cause problems in these systems. So the aim of the treatment is to release these blocks. But Vata is also associated with bone and tissue. So that if there's any problems deep within the bones, having this procedure out of therapeutic enema can help any bone issues as well. Another treatment that's recommended, one that can be done at home, is called Naseya, which is when you administer therapeutic oils into the nasal cavity or into the nostrils. And this is very common nowadays with neti pot, which is used for chronic sinus problems and nasal irrigation and so on. But this also has been used in Ayurveda for many thousands of years and recognized as a beneficial treatment, particularly as we know that what we call prana, or your life force, enters through your breath and through your nose initially. So that any treatment of nausea to the nasal mucosa or nasal cavity can help improve the flow of this prana, or this energy, just simply this breath into the body, which helps with disorders such as, obviously, sinus congestion, migraines, headaches, and certain eye and ear problems as well can help, as well as improving the breathing generally. So these are examples of the treatments in Ayurveda, which involve a little bit of discomfort, or what you might call suffering, and particularly in the forced vomiting, the laxative treatment, and the therapeutic enemas, but that they have a role in starting the path to healing, so removing toxins from the body and kind of giving ourselves a blank slate in starting air, so to speak. And this is also used in the we've used it culturally in cultures such as the Ramadan or Lent. We had periods during the year where we recommend a type of a kind of detoxification as such, or cleansing of the body after the winter period into the spring and summer. Now, there are specific herbs that are used during and after the Panchakarma process. We would, as I said, not recommend in the immediate aftermath for patients or the people who undergo these treatments to have foods that are very sweet, salty, and sour. But triphala is an excellent supplement because it has mild, bitter, and astringent taste qualities. Neem is another similar herb that is very bitter. And not unpleasant to consume, but it has a cleansing and nourishing effect on the body, particularly the blood and the skin. And ashwagandha, as we all know, is a very commonly used herb as supplement and treatment in Ayurveda. And it's an energizing herbal medication, and it regulates and potentiates or improves the Vata dosha, the Vata, so it helps balance the Vata dosha within it. So Ayurveda does recognize that a little discomfort or a mild suffering, if it's used in a therapeutic setting, can become medicine or the start of the path towards healing. So, how does the recognition understanding of our suffering help us on this path towards healing? So this is more a philosophical kind of discussion point. Ayurveda teaches that suffering arises when we lose sight of our dharma, which is our role in life, our kind of path. And then we talk about path, our natural balance. We talk about our dharma, our duty, our vocation, what we're meant to do in life, so to speak. So that it takes us away from our right action, our rightful way of living. So in a way, you could be doing a job that's not what you want to be doing, you're happy doing, and it causes you discontent, unhappiness, maybe physical symptoms even. So this is a way of trying to recognize your suffering, trying to put you back on the path of your correct path in life. So it forces us, you know, if we consume what harms, if we're doing a job that we're not happy in, if we neglect rest, if we indulge in destructive habits and destructive thought patterns, suffering will come. And this suffering is a reminder or a wake-up call to us to take note, make change. It forces us to look inside ourselves and to develop this habit of self-awareness, which unfortunately in our modern lives is so rare. So we must ask ourselves, what is this pain? What is this symptom? What are these emotions? What are they trying to tell me? What imbalance do I have? What have I forgotten to do? Where am I? Where have I strayed off my path? What must I do to return to my natural self? Now, in today's world, like I said, we often suppress suffering. We take our painkillers to stop our headache. We take our sleeping pills to force us to get to sleep. We take stimulants and caffeine or alcohol to override fatigue symptoms and to keep us working beyond the daily rhythms of the circadian rhythms of day and night. But when we do this, we silence this messenger. We suppress it. We put them away in a corner. We just ignore the root causes of illness and disease, the reasons why we're unwell. Now, Ayurveda, in contrast, it invites us to pause and to listen to ourselves. This is a radical shift, really. It's away from fighting our suffering or ignoring it to partnering, to participating, to letting it become part of us so we can find a way out. So finally, how can we integrate this wisdom I've talked about, these concepts I've discussed, into our daily lives? I appreciate they could be sound, maybe abstract, but they are so deep within us if we open ourselves up to the idea. Well, first, before you suppress any symptom, listen carefully. When a pain arises in our body, think, what's it saying? What's it saying to me? What am I doing wrong? What imbalance in my diet, my routine, my exercises, for instance, with me last week, are my emotions like behind this? Recognize that there's a connection between them. Maybe write down or journal how the suffering that you're experiencing, if it's possible to put it down. Your symptoms, your moods, anything that triggers it. You may then be able to identify a pattern that isn't immediately obvious. And practice what's called mindful discomfort. Have an occasional day of fasting. Embrace the concept of maybe cold showers. Cold water swimming seems to be so popular. Cold water dips are so popular. Maybe that's a kind of a way of pushing us back into embracing this kind of suffering as a means to becoming, you know, healthier. Practice disciplined meditation. Cultivate resilience in ourselves, toughness in ourselves, and develop the practice of awareness. And then maybe, if necessary, seek out the help of an Ayurvedic practitioner to help you tease out any problems that are occurring that you can't quite get on top of. They can recommend different herbal medications, such as triphala, or neem, or ashwagandha, and they can help restore any imbalance of the doshas. And once again, you just have to say, when you experience suffering, ask, why is it you that's experiencing? What is it teaching me? So Ayurveda sees suffering not as an enemy, but as a guru or a teacher to ourselves. It teaches us to balance, to re-understand our dharma, our role in life, what it is we have to do, or where it is we have to go, and how we've strayed from that path. It is teaching us that suffering is part of life. And it is a way to direct us back on the path to self-healing and wellness. And lastly, a quote from the great Charaka Samhita text, that the purpose of life is not to escape suffering, but to know the self beyond suffering. To remember that pain may just be the medicine, the teacher, and the path that we need to go on to ground ourselves. I hope you've enjoyed today's show, and I'll finish up with my last few messages and see you all again next week.
Tune in again next week for more discussion about Ayurveda. There's always loads to discuss. You can find more information on my website, animayurveda.com, which is anam spelled A-N-A-M hyphen A-U-R-V-E-D-A.com. Anam is the Irish word for soul. Until then, as we say in Irish, Cree full on, fod seal. Healthy heart, long life. Take care.